I think we are meeting for a second time. You were there, Rath Yatra time, Rath Yatra festival? Yes, resonance, okay. Resonance festival. Do you believe in destiny? You have started believing by now. No more debate. I think after that encounter during the resonance festival, one or two of our devotees, Ekalavya, the trumpet man, I was told you met you, you have some good talks. And like that, where is Sanjay? Okay, you're a tall person. So thank you for inviting us and taking interest in Hare Krishna devotees. And I understand you are now chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Is that okay that they know that you are chanting?
Yes, of course.
So that's a progress or development that your leader or your hero, Sanjay Raktate ji, is chanting. He's chanting Hare Krishna on the beads. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And anyone else chants amongst you this Maha Mantra? Someone is doing this. Show of hands. Anyone chants on the beads here amongst you? Not on the beads, but otherwise chanting? Yeah, someone is chanting on the beads also. Two. They're a bit shy, maybe there. But you believe in chanting, right? You believe in chanting the names of God? You do. You are good people. You are good souls that you believe in chanting the names of God. That is what we do all the time. We are known as Hare Krishna. Oh, Hare Krishna people here. Oh, Hare Krishna people there. People in London or New York or Melbourne, Australia or Durban, South Africa. They see devotees from Hare Krishna movement chanting on the streets. They're chanting on the streets. Americans and Europeans, boys and girls, they get together. They go to the public places. They have drums, mridangam, they have kartal, the hand cymbals. And they chant and also dance everywhere. So we are known as Hare Krishna people. What are we known as? Hare Krishna people. Oh, these are Hare Krishna people. Oh, Hare Krishna people. And so you also are chanting. Maybe Jai Jai Ram Krishna Hare Jai Jai Ram. Like that. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopa. There are different names. Krishna has many names. Jagame sundar hai do naam. Chahe Krishna ka ho ya Ram. You know, you are filling in the blanks. So this chanting of the holy names of the Lord is good for everybody. Even those when Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada reached New York some 40 years ago, and he knew the Americans are into drugs. You heard of hippies, something called hippies? Yes? So some of them were like that. So seeing their tendency, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada said that I have come with a drug, and some of them were happy to hear. Their Swami from India also is carrying some drugs. But this Swamiji, Bhaktivedanta Swami, he said, the special feature of the drug that I'm carrying is that you take this drug and you will stay high forever. I don't know whether you know. I also did not know this. But as I heard from others, what happens when you take drugs, some especially LSD and some other drugs, you take the drug and you kind of begin floating or something. You go high. You have experience? Sorry. But I think we could imagine, in order to find relief from the anxiety, from the stressful life and whatnot, people take shelter of so many things. And amongst those things is a drug, is intoxication. Drinks and drugs are on the top of that list, what people do to find relief. And then Prabhupada, our spiritual master, he said, I have a drug. If you take this drug, you will stay high forever. And all those American boys and girls in New York, Swamiji, Swamiji, we want that drug. What is that drug? Where is it? What is the cost of it? And Swamiji said, my drug is free. It doesn't cost. It's a very valuable drug. You take it and you stay high forever. But it is free. So normally, to explain further or more about going high and going low is, that you take a drug and you go high, and when there is no more effect, influence of that drug, then you go low. And now next time you take a drug, maybe of another kind, or you just take a bigger dose of the same drug, and as a result, what happens? You go even higher than the previous experience, and when that effect is no more, what would happen? This time you would not only go low, but you would go lower. Yes? Right? Because you had gone higher, so now you will go lower, and as you go on increasing your dose day after day, or I don't know how frequently, so many times a day or so many times in a week they take drug. And so finally you go on increasing your dose and consumption of what your intake. And each time, of course, you end up going higher and higher and higher and higher. And then you go the highest, and when the effect of the drug is no more, you go to the lowest level, from where you do not go anywhere. You stay low down there. You may end up in a mental hospital. Or a de-addiction center. Or you may go out of this body and not enter in the same body again, meaning the death. So people could go to that extent to find relief from the stress or anxiety and bad experiences of this world. In the same New York City, I read writing on the wall, well, written with a chalk. I'm sure in the rainy season, next rainy season, will be just washed off. Writing in the wall has another meaning, not in that sense, but kind of a truth also. Or somebody's realization was written on the wall, which read as, life is tough, and then you die. Well, that was not the end of the statement. There was another short line that said, and you are born again. This says a lot. Just few words, but a lot has been said in these words. This must be something useful, or maybe something corresponding the message that we find in the Shastras, in the scriptures, or something that wise men always have said such things. Life is tough, and then what happens? Then you die. Well, fine, finally I don't have to suffer that tough life because now I'm dead now. Good! Finally, I'm there. But it's not a good news. Because you are born again. And then what would happen? You are born again to go through another, what? Tough life. Another tough life. And then what happens? You die again. Huh? To be born again. And to be born again and again and again. According to Lord Sri Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, so this is the cause of, well, one, this is one, one or two, he said. He says four, there are four things. The birth, death, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, dukkha, dosha, anudarshanam. This is the birth, death, old age, disease. These are the causes of our suffering. Another lady, she was ready to jump off the bridge into the deep waters. Maybe there was sand or rock underneath. And she wanted to give up her life, thinking, oh, this way I could end the suffering. But someone was watching, or someone with compassion caught her in the middle of her act of ending her life. And she was saying, no, let me go, let me go. Please help me, let me die. So, well, we think that death is suffering. But for this lady, the life was suffering experience. But she was thinking the death is end part of, but, well, I don't know, I'm just remembering another lady. Well, she gave up her life for another reason. Her dog died. And she was feeling intense pangs of separation. Oh, jina to kya jina kutte ke bina. She was thinking, how could I live without the dog? He's no more. So next thing she did was she gave up her life. And there are big headlines in Swedish newspapers. A lady followed her dog. Instead of following God, G-O-D, she followed D-O-G. So, this world is full of suffering. And this is not an imagination. If it was so, why would Krishna talk of some imaginary things? Again, Krishna says, dukkhalayam ashashvatam. You see so many billboards, signboards, hoardings all over the town here, advertisement. And Lord Krishna, although you don't see that sign hanging anywhere, but it is there in Bhagavad Gita, and you could make a good sign out of it, reminding everyone, ladies and gentlemen, this world is two things, two adjectives, two words of wisdom, two words of description of this world. One is dukkhalayam. This world is full of suffering, and this world is temporary. Now, by talking like this, we do not want to paint just a negative picture or make you scary, fearful and pessimistic, and that's not the idea. We do not want to make our presentation just describing the suffering. There's much more to this. This is just a tip of the iceberg, what we are talking here. Because a lot of people want to, they'll think there's no suffering, I'm not suffering. Suffering is a reality that Buddha Deva, well, just to say a little more, Lord Buddha, Buddha Dev, you know, is life. Yep. Is anyone here not heard about Buddha? No one here. Everyone has heard about Buddha. So he was very, very anxious. He was a young man. But he would remain confined to the palace of his father. He was a prince. His father would not let him step outside the, well, outside the palace. Because king knew that as soon as my son steps outside the palace, he will see varieties of, lots of kind of suffering. So better he stays indoor. But he was known as Siddhartha, as young man. He was in, no, let me go, I want to see. And then, okay, young man, go ahead. Here's a chariot, and here's someone to drive your chariot also. Take a good look at the world. And as he started his journey, he saw, well, few experiences for him. Someone trying to cross the road and is struggling to, he's a blind, and also old and trembling. So this young man had never ever seen anyone, any old person before. His father has tactfully arranged so that he never meets any old person, because he knew if my son sees some old person, he'll be suffering by seeing, or he'll be reminded, yes, this is your future. So he asked the chariot driver, oh, what is this? Why is this person not walking straight, left, right? He was not doing that, but he was trembling and, oh, help. He said, he's an old man. That's why he's struggling, trembling, and he's not able to see. And this young prince, does everyone get old? Yes, everyone gets old. And what about me? No problem. You will also get old one day. And then, tuk, 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 okay. And the chariot goes on. And then someone on the footpath suffering from the disease. The flies all over, the pus oozing from his wounds, and suffering like anything, crying. Oh, what is this? Why is he crying? Oh, he's sick, or he has a leprosy, he has this disease, that disease. Do people get, all people get disease? Yes. What about me? Oh, no problem. At some time in future, you will also have first-hand experience. And then chariot journey continued, and Ram Nam Sathe, Ram Nam Sathe, Ram Nam Sathe. Hey, what is going on here? What is going on there in that corner also? Some talk is going on. So, why is this person having good time? Enjoy. No, not good time. He's dead. So what happens next? Oh, they are taking him to the cremation ground. And then what next? They will burn him. And then would he be coming back home? No! Finish! Gone! Dead! Does everyone die? Yes, yes, young man, everyone dies. And what about me? You too! Just wait for a few more, right? Yes, no problem, you will also die. So this is the same thing. Janma, Matyu, Jara, Vyadhi, Dukha, Doshanu, Darshanam. These are the four causes of suffering. Well, the stress, I'm not touching so much on stress. Maybe you heard that I was going to be talking about stress management or something. I was just told that I had to speak about the stress management, so I'm just passing the time. But similar related topic is here. So at the body level, at the level of the body, there is so much inconvenience, there's so much suffering is there, so much stress is there. Why do we do not want to be stressed out, or why we do not want to suffer? If I may ask this question, why do we, I have traveled a lot around the world, and I did ask this question on all the continents on this planet. Is anyone in the crowd praying or endeavoring to get suffering? I haven't come across one person from millions of people on the planet. Of course, I haven't met everybody, but I did sampling, I should say. And I haven't come across no one from Africa or Australia or Russia or Canada or America or Europe say, yes, yes, I am looking forward to suffer. I go to the church and pray, God, my God, you're only giving me so much joy. What about suffering? Where is my quota of suffering? No one prays for suffering. No one prays for suffering. No one endeavors for suffering, but suffering is there. And at the same time, no one wants to suffer. No one ever thinks of suffering. Why is that? Why no one wants to suffer? Or, to put it in a positive term, why does everyone want to enjoy? Does someone want to offer some suggestion or some kind of response to this? Why is it? Is that the case with you also? You don't want to suffer. You all want to enjoy? I want to. Yes, I do. What about you, all of you? Want to enjoy? Raise your hands if you want to enjoy. If you don't raise your hand, you may suffer. Anyway, it doesn't make a difference by my benedictions or curses. So you all are agreeing that you don't want to suffer, you want to only enjoy. So why is it? Why is it that we all, no exception to this rule, everyone wants to enjoy? The nature of the soul, someone from Mauritius, all the way from Mauritius here, Sundarlal Prabhu. Stand up, they want to. There you go. In the middle of the Indian Ocean, he comes from. He says, nature of the soul is to enjoy. And of course, soul. Yeah, nature of the soul is to enjoy. So, well, what that has to do with me or each one of us? Do we have any soul connection? Do we have any connection with the soul? Huh? Yes? Yes or no? We have connection with the soul. Where is the soul? What is our connection? Soul is somewhere else and we get on the line with that soul by remote control or... Where is the soul? If we have the connection with the soul, where is the soul? Yes? It is within us. Very good. It is within us. Us is you and your family. Within everybody. Yes? What about others? They are all smiling and laughing. This is a symptom of life which has a connection with the soul. Yeah, your soul is within you and your soul is within, like that, within each body. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the soul is called, Atma is called Dehi. Dehi means inside Deha, embodied. Body and embodied. Like a Nivas and Nivasi. Nivas, the house, and then the resident, one who stays inside the house. So in every body there is a soul. Our spiritual master used to ask very simple question. What is the difference between the dead body and living body? Yes, what's the difference? Oh, he was just now here. Oh, it's gone. They cry like this, right? I was not real cry, but they really cry. Tears and saying, he was just now here. What fool are you talking about? He's right here. And what are you talking? He has left. Who has left? Who has left? Soul is left. You don't have to be a big learned pundit to understand that there's another person. The real person is in the body, inside the body. And that is a soul. We stay for 100 years, 80, 50 years together. But we do not even meet each other. The souls, they are the real persons. We do not meet. All life long we keep thinking, oh, that person is my this mom or dad or dead mom, mommy, mom. I don't mean to be disrespectful towards your parents. So we look at each other and we think this is my father or mother or brother or sister or a friend. But the real friend, brother, sister, mother is inside that body that we see. And Krishna again, we always have to go back to Krishna. He is the wisest person around. His words of wisdom. He has the oldest intelligence, his most intelligent person. Creator, maintainer, everything. All in all, for us, the souls also, he's all in all. So he says that this body is just a cloth uniform that your soul puts on, is wearing on. Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya. That this body is a dress of the soul. As this is a dress of my body. But again, the body is a dress of a soul. Inside this body is our real self. Take care of yourself. Doesn't your mother? My mother always said that. Take care. Take care. Raghunath, take care of yourself. So, my mother always thought I was her son. This body, taking care of this body, is taking care of myself. Depends upon who you are. Accordingly, you would consider the different meanings of this self. For someone, the body is the self. For someone else, your intellectual ability. I'm an intellectual being, you know. You identify with your intelligence, and that is yourself. Or identifying with the mind. I like. This is all mental faculty. Liking, disliking, and sankalp, vikalp, all the time at the mind's level we identify. So for someone, the mind's level is a self. Yet for another personality, the soul is the real self. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shuni chaiva svapake cha panditaha samadarshinaha. The pandit, the learned person, he has an equal vision. Again, Krishna's statement from Bhagavad Gita. And he looks at a Brahman, vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane. He looks at a cow. He looks at what? Elephant. He looks at a dog eater. He looks at, well, other entities. And he's looking at all of them with equal vision. Now, you know, there's a big elephant, and next to that big elephant, maybe another dog walking. You know, what is so similar about the two entities there? Big giant elephant, little mountain size. I sometimes say that in one leg of the elephant, you could make 20 dogs. But still the learned person is looking at the elephant, looking at a dog, looking at a tree also, looking at someone, something else, well, some entity, and he's seeing all of them with the equal vision. What is it that he's looking at and coming to the conclusion that, they're all equal. They're all equal. What is he looking at? He's looking at the soul. He's not looking at the body, whether it's a black body or white body of a European, or this body or that body, or rich body or poor body, or Hindu body or Muslim body, or body of a man or a woman. He's only looking at the soul. And soul has none of these identities, these upadhis, these designations. Soul is soul. Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. The soul is part and parcel of God. Servant of God or child of God. So in that sense, we're all children of God, souls, parts and parcels of God. And the reason that we do not want to, none of us want to suffer is, as we heard the response or suggestion or answer, even if you want to call it, that because we are soul, and by nature, the nature of the soul is to enjoy. The nature of the soul is to be eternal also. That's another reason. No one wants to die. Another question could be asked. Anyone here or anywhere wants to die? No. Why is that no one wants to die? Again, going back to the nature of the soul. Soul is eternal. So dying is against my nature. I have nothing to do with the death. But, and of course, those who are self-realized meaning, I am the soul. This realization is called self-realization. Or God realizes, God exists, that is God realization. and I have a relationship with God, then this is a complete realization. I exist, God exists, and I belong to God. This is self-realization. This is God realization. So God is eternal. So I am also eternal. The God is full of ocean of bliss. Satchidananda Vigraha. Lord is described. Satchidananda Vigraha. His embodiment. His ocean of happiness. I am His. Like Father, like Son. Also, if you want to use that saying. Like Father. Bap, Desa, Beta. So we are Beta. We are children of Vitumaza Le Kuravala. You heard this? Sange Gopalanta Mela Vitumaza Le Kuravala. Means that Vitav, that Krishna, Pandurang, Sri Ram, we are all his children. Means he has so many children. So we are his children. And we are also meant to be always enjoying and never suffer. And we are also meant to exist forever. The stumbling block is this body. This body, shariram vyadhi mandiram, besides so many other sayings you could find. This is something that I came to mind right now. The shariram vyadhi mandiram. Sharir is mandir of vyadhi, suffering. The disease. And it is made like that. And it is not within the power of us, the small, tiny entities, to change the nature of this existence, nature of this body, or nature of the mind. Only thing we could do is that we try to realize our real self, real nature, and that we are spirit souls. And those who realize that I am the spirit soul, I am part and parcel of Krishna. This realization, dhirastatra namuhyati, even in the midst of the most disturbing situation, like death, the most difficult time anybody could have is the time of death. But Lord says that my time has come. It's not time of death, but the time to conclude or something. Yes, that's what it is. I know. See? I know. So, so to know that I am, in the midst of this most suffering situation, like dying, the death, person could be undisturbed. Tatha dehantara prapti. Dehantara is going on. Like a sthanantar or deshantar. Going from one country to another. From one place to another. Likewise, dehantar. Krishna has used it. Dehantar means going from one body to another. And this is a heartbreaking experience. Everything that we are connected to, we are just being dragged away. Forget it. Get out of here. You have no time to think. It's a very painful situation. But if you are self-realized, God-realized, then in the midst of that terrible suffering of the body, soul is being separated, you could be undisturbed. If you have realized that you are spirit soul and part and parcel of Krishna. So, in the midst of all this strain and stressful life, this knowledge of science of soul, science of God, our understanding of who really we are could be of a lot of value. It's valuable knowledge. And what good is that knowledge that you know everything else, from biology to cosmology to from Khagol to Bhugol, you know everything, but you do not know who you are. You don't know who, or I don't know who I am. What, how much do I know? So most important thing is Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam, knowledge about ourself. And the way out, as I started my presentation saying, we are known as Hare Krishna people, and we spend good amount of time chanting the names of the Lord, and this helps. So, and I also did not tell you that Swamiji, Bhaktivedanta Swami, he said, oh yes, I have come with a drug, and you could stay high forever if you take this drug. So what was that drug he was talking about? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, was that drug that he was talking about. And I know hundreds and thousands of Hare Krishna devotees around the world that they have taken to this chanting of Hare Krishna. And from the time they have taken to Hare Krishna, they have stayed high forever. And they are, and with great pride also, if I may say so, that Prabhupada used to say, sometimes even in public function, yes, look at these boys and girls. One time they were hippies, but now they are happies. That means hippies means gone cases, aimless, hopeless, helpless, and what not we could say about them. Hence taking shelter of drugs and sex and this and that and intoxication, looking for some alternative. So when Swamiji met them, they found this alternative, they found this holy name, which is Krishna's name, Ram's name, and they have stayed, their life has changed, and many of them they are not all residing as brahmacharis or sannyasis into the ashram, but they are out there as married men with children and a business profession. Still they chant Hare Krishna and lead a very clean life, free from stress and strain and anxiety. And such thing is possible. Such things are possible. The latest report from Russia is the fastest growing, the Newsweek magazine said, the fastest growing religion in former Soviet Union is, imagine what they said, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna is the fastest growing religion. And they said there are 700,000, that is 7 lakh of followers of Hare Krishna in Soviet Union, which is more like a new country where Hare Krishna was allowed to get in and practice and propagate. And like that, this mantra is becoming popular all over the world. This mantra is God. Mantra is names of Krishna. So we also appeal to you that very soon you would be out there in the world, real world, where there is a, they call rat race, some race called, what kind of race? The rats are racing back and, oh sir, no time, come next, very busy people. So please take to this chanting of Hare Krishna. And our presentation had lots of statements, quotes from Bhagavad Gita. This is a very useful guidebook, a manual, if that could be called, that way, manual, how to do it, the art of living. Also, yes, art of living. Art and science of living. How you could be in this world and not off this world at the same time. How not get affected by this world. How to manage a balanced life. How to take care of your body as well as your mind and the soul, which is a goal, in fact, to take care of the soul. And if we don't take care, we are missing a big thing. And this is what is happening in this world today. This kind of education is not being given to the young boys and girls or children of this great nation called Bharatvarsha. Very unfortunate. Hence, we appreciate that we have forum here to speak to you through Sanjay. Sanjay Uvacha. Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna. You know that, right? Krishna spoke to Arjuna. But while Krishna was speaking this knowledge to Arjuna, there was yet another person. This dialogue was going on in Kurukshetra, but there was another person in Hastinapur was listening to this dialogue. Who was that person? Sanjay. Means victorious. Sanjay means victorious. Not only joy, but Sanjay means very substantial joy. Jai ho! Sanjay. So through him, we are able to speak to you and get the message of Lord across to you. So thank you for this opportunity, and we hope to meet you again.